Good morning. It's 8:38. Let's talk to Mayor Kurt Dykstra now this morning. Good morning, Kurt. How are you this morning? Happy Friday to you, sir. I'm glad that you stopped by as you usually do. Things going pretty well?
They are. Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Look very good, as you always do.
Well, you know, I dress up for you.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that, Mayor. We got this countdown going on our whiteboard behind you that says 29 days till tulip time. You losing a little sleep over this? So you feel like
no,
we're ready?
No, not at all. Thankfully, for everybody concerned, I don't have a whole lot to do with the festival except for a few of the things that, you know, require kind of the ceremonial presence of city people.
Yeah.
You know, governor's luncheon, parades, street inspection, those kinds of things. But the planning for Tulip Time is largely a Tulip Time effort. They're a separate organization, which they do a good job. They partner, of course, with a lot of different people, including folks in the city, transportation,
yeah,
public safety, and those sorts of folks. But frankly, I don't have to worry too much about it, and they don't have to worry too much about me.
Well, maybe that for you, that's a good thing. You know, we like seeing you there.
Probably for them also. Get rid of this guy.
Let's switch gears a little bit. I spoke with the Lieutenant Governor Brian Calley yesterday morning, and he was at Hudsonville Ice Cream today, meeting with local businesses, talking about job growth. And with this county, Ottawa County being the number one county in terms of people moving to this county from the state, that must mean there's jobs here and there's people want to live in this area. And he talked about how he credits that a lot of it to the tourism aspect of the community and how that's such an important part of our economy. How is there room for growth with all these people keep coming here? Where are the jobs coming from?
Well, they're coming from a variety of places, and you're exactly right. This is not only the highest population growth area of the state, but also economically one of the finest areas of the state as well.
Right.
So we've been sort of below the state and national averages historically for unemployment and remain that way. But where do the jobs come from? They come from a whole host of areas. Entrepreneurs starting new businesses, established companies expanding new businesses, large and small. You know, the employer that has five employees and adds one, you know, that's a pretty substantial percentage growth in their business. The employer that has 400 and adds 50, you know, those are all good things. You know, we see it from across all of our sectors. In the manufacturing sector, we've seen good growth, both shop floor growth and also what we might call white-collar growth.
Yeah.
We see it in some of the service industry areas. We see it in the tourism areas. We see it in the ag areas. So new people starting businesses, existing companies expanding, and then we see it in probably less often, in new companies choosing to either relocate or expand in this area. You know, we saw, for example, a few years ago, Hayworth closed operations in other places and consolidated here back to Holland. Those are all the kinds of things. And in order to be able to do that, you have to be both competitively economically from a state standpoint in tax policy and regulatory policy, but also locally. And we've got to make sure that our local communities are sort of open for business and easy to work with and have policies and tax policies in place that are helpful and attractive, because capital will go where capital is wanted. And ultimately, the best social program that we can ever imagine is a job. And having a good job, having a strong economy, really is a bare necessity for everything else that we like to see in our communities. If the economy is healthy, if the jobs are healthy, then things like Tulip Time get sponsored. If the jobs are healthy and the economy is healthy, then there's tax revenue coming in for things like roads and streets and police and parks and all those kinds of things. So, you know, it all really begins with having a strong and healthy economic base, because that then makes everything else work a whole lot better.
I read a story this morning looking at those roads, which have been just destroyed. I mean, it's like mine, you know, they're just mine holes out there. But the state, Ottawa County getting just over $1 million, and Allegan County getting about $530,000 for the roads. Is that enough?
Oh, heavens no. I mean, it's not even close.
Not even close.
No, I mean, the city, for example, got about 100, and we got a check yesterday, I think it was, for $130,000, $140,000, something like that. I mean,
yeah.
It helps, don't get me wrong, but I mean, to redo a section of roadway, for example, the section of roadway a couple of years ago that was done on Lincoln Avenue from 16th to 24th, you know, we're talking in the millions of dollars. Jeez. So for one small,
so they're dropping a pedal into the pond, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, it's not the only funding, of course. It's some supplemental funding, principally designed to help with sort of pothole repair,
right,
due to the winter. But you know, it's certain nobody should think that it's a long term strategy or solution for ultimately our road funding question in this state.
We got a caller on the air. Go ahead, caller. What's your question for the mayor?
I was wondering how they're going to take care of all these chickens that are going to be in town, because it could be kind of a messy thing after a while. Then there's another thing I wanted to complain about is that they passed that graffiti law. The person who gets their property done has to fix it up. I don't think that's fair for them. It's because they can't help it if these people do it. They're the ones that should pay for it, not the person who owns the house. Thank you.
Yeah, well, let's start with the second one first. I mean, ultimately, this is not a situation where it's, you know, sort of saying, well, we're not going to go after the perpetrators. In fact, we do, we will, we have. But the question is, are we going to treat things like graffiti like we do other kinds of property maintenance issues? So if you don't mow your lawn, if someone breaks a window at your house, if someone dumps garbage on your property, if someone puts a bunch of old tires and things in your yard. I mean, I get it. I mean, trust me, I completely get it. The idea that it's sort of adding insult to injury, but that's the nature of what happens.
Somebody backs into my car, I still have to fix it.
Right.
You know?
And anytime you're the victim, especially of a property crime, the fact you get victimized twice. Once by the perpetrator, second by having to take care of the problem. And this really is one of those backstop kinds of issues. Most people who get affected by this, and thankfully there aren't many, most people just take care of it because, you know, that's not – you want it fixed.
Yeah.
The question is, and the problem is, what can the city do for those that refuse to remedy the situation? And up until now, the city's been powerless to do anything. And, you know, having graffiti on buildings or whatever is just something that – there was a social scientist in the 80s and 90s, James Q. Wilson, who coined a phrase, the broken window theory, and that is that when you start to see things in a neighborhood or in a community that demonstrate that there's some social disorder going on, it begins to be kind of a whirlwind effect, and it only increases on an exponential basis. So we want to put a quick stop to those kinds of things, and ultimately I think it's going to be one of those ordinances, much like our public urination ordinance, that frankly isn't used terribly often.
What about the chicken question that he had for you?
Oh, I don't know if there's going to be an abundance of chickens.
I heard that it's what maybe 50 people or 100 people at the most.
I'd be surprised if it was even that much at the end of the day, because it's not just hey, get a chicken and let it run. It's you've got to have certain strict structures in place and coops and pens, and nobody is going to. Most nobody will get this in order to say I'm going to save some money on having to buy eggs at the grocery store. It's going to be a much more costly adventure, and you do it for reasons that are unrelated to sort of economic questions. And ultimately, no hens are allowed, no roosters are allowed, so that should hopefully keep some of the noise issues.
Chickens are going to be running free in Holland.
No, they're not, actually.
No, they're not.
Have them penned and in an enclosed area. So.
Go ahead, caller. What's your question for Mayor Kurt Dykstra?
Yeah, Kurt Dykstra. I'm
yes,
calling. I just want to say thank you for... for the city and everybody for supporting that poultry ordinance. Real curious, is that just strictly chickens or poultry?
It is.
And then,
go ahead.
Then I have a comment. A comment with that graffiti ordinance. Yeah, you know, I understand that, and I agree that if a homeowner is economically capable of repairing that, great. Have them do it immediately, but I would like to see that done with the city too. You see the markings on the streets, the signs, public property and stuff. I'd like to see the city get right on that too. My comment.
Yeah,
I'll hang up and listen about the poultry.
Sure, sure.
Thank
I'll tell you, we on the public property stuff, signs and power box kinds of things. Yeah, we do try to jump on that now. A lot of times we need to have it reported because unlike someone's own property where you keep an eye on things, you know, it's pretty tough to say, well, the quote-unquote city ought to sort of keep an eye on every stop sign or whatever the case may be. But you can report it via telephone to a city department, or we have this wonderful online service and a mobile app. For those of you who have smartphones, you can download and report all this stuff, and it gets tracked and taken care of. So, we do try to jump on it right away. And if you see something that we're not doing, let us know, because we want to get on it. Absolutely. It should be no double standard on that. As for the poultry question, it is... it has been referred to as the chicken matter, but yeah. It does include also other forms of poultry, ducks, geese, those kinds of things as well. So the ordinance is available on the city's website if you want to read through it, or if you've got questions, you can call the Community and Neighborhood Services Department of the City of Holland. They're the ones who will kind of administer the ordinance.
All right, we're out of time. Thank you, Mayor.
Right.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for letting me be here today.
That's Coffee with the Mayor, brought to you by Cunningham Dome PC.